Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome into the Friday edition of The Drive. Hope everybody doing well, getting ready for a big weekend. It is a fun time of year with tournament basketball going on and some unbelievable games. The SEC has had game after game after game of really exciting. Has there been anything that wasn't interesting other than the Mississippi State LSU game? Every other game has at least been contested for the most part, and we've had some unbelievable finishes here in the SEC tournament.
Certainly. No, I mean, it's delivered so far, and the best teams are just getting started, right? Auburn,
right.
The first of the four teams that got the bye into the quarterfinals.
And really pushed earlier today. I still, you know, I'm not ready to say, okay, everything's fine. Auburn's back to their midseason form, because it wasn't pretty, but Auburn really needed a win, and they get it today, 62-57, uncharacteristically turning the ball over, 11 turnovers in the second half today, and four or five of them just sort of, not forced turnovers. There were just, Miles Kelly had a couple of just lobs that turned into, runouts for Ole Miss. There were just some things that you're not used to seeing from Auburn. Ole Miss is they're a team that usually doesn't turn it over and relies on forcing opponents' turnovers. Auburn helped them out there. Jani Broome, a huge game today, 23-15. For the guy who should be your National Player of the Year. He's definitely the SEC Player of the Year. And he hits the clinching shot. Auburn up three with under 30 seconds to play. Get the ball into Jani on the low post, and he banks it home to give Auburn the eventual 5-point margin of victory today, 62-57.
Yeah, and a game where, I mean, Auburn, you could say Auburn maybe showed some rust after not playing since Saturday.
I hope that's all it was.
I mean, because, especially in the first half, I mean, neither team has 30, right, at halftime. In the second half, the scoring picks up for both teams. And Auburn, there are a couple of moments where you feel like, okay, Auburn is in position to seize control of this one.
They get up 9 or 10.
They get up 9 or 10, yeah. And you wonder if it feels like it's Ole Miss is under pressure to respond.
And they did.
Usually in that situation, Ole Miss found a way, including at the end, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Ole Miss finds a way.
Oh, it was a 10 point lead. It was a 10 point lead with about 2.5.
Right.
And it got it down to 5 and had the ball.
And a couple of pivotal plays.
Three, as a matter of fact.
Couple of pivotal plays at the basket for Auburn, right? Chad with the and one after that crazy scramble after the missed rebound.
Missed seeing a ball touching the out-of-bounds line.
Oh, and that
there were a few things missed in the game.
I'll tell you what, though. That play, because that, correct me if I'm wrong, Bill.
The effort on that play was phenomenal.
That's the play where Ole Miss is down. Are they down three?
They're down three.
And they're shooting a three to tie the game.
Yes.
And the rebound goes from Denver to Jani, maybe touches the baseline. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah,
in that
I think it did. I thought Denver's foot touched the line, but it did not.
No, Denver's clear.
Denver was clear, but it looked like as Jani reached for it, the ball may have touched the line. But the official, hey, there's nothing. Wasn't in position. But, an unbelievable save by Jani in – Who'd he get it to? Who got it to Chad?
Does Chaney get it to Chad? I forget.
I remember it was Chaney or Miles.
But, it might have been Miles.
But one of them, yeah, up the sideline, and then to Chad, who's able to. Was that the only basket Chad made?
It was Chad's. No, Chad had the. Didn't have Chad. Chad had a three.
Chad had a three.
Early in the second half.
Yeah, because he finished with 7 points.
But Chad. I mean, it was. It was not necessarily Chad Baker Mazzara returning to form.
Oh no, no, not at all. Chad did not look like Chad. Chad looked like he was, you know, concerned, and still had carryover from being tossed in the Alabama game.
I'll tell you what, I thought that there were moments where Chad seemed frustrated that he wasn't playing better. And again, I don't want to delve too much into it, and I haven't seen any of the quotes post-game from his teammates or from Bruce about it, but I would think that Chad really wanted to play well in this game, coming off of the game where he was ejected, and to not necessarily be at his best in this one. I could see that creating the kind of frustration that makes a guy emotional.
Yeah,
and I think there were even moments. I was telling Bill before the broadcast, there are moments where the ESPN cameras catch Chad with a towel on his face on the bench. there are moments where Chad appears to be having on the verge of tears or having recently finished like he's going through it in the second half on the bench. He still comes back
and makes some plays
defensively.
He led the team in assists with 6. He had 6 of Auburn's 14 assists. So that's where he contributed. I thought he contributed an awful lot there. I mean,
And crucially, for guys who you wanted to see, and we can talk more about Janai's huge game, including that dunk at the end. But for guys that you wanted to see work their way out of a perceived cold stretch or a slump, for Chad, for Chaney, for Dylan.
Right.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if today was necessarily. Today wasn't necessarily proof that any of them have snapped out of it.
But
crucially, they get to play tomorrow.
That is exactly right.
And they don't have to wait until it probably would be another week.
They're not going into the NCAA tournament on a 3-game losing streak. Now tomorrow they'll be fighting to try to avoid having lost 3 of 4. But Chaney really struggled offensively again. It has been a tremendous struggle for Chaney offensively. Now, against an outsized Ole Miss team, he did what he had to do. He got 7 rebounds. So that was big. And Auburn, after early on, Ole Miss dominated the backboards for the first 8 minutes or so of the ball game. But from that point on, Auburn took control. Chaney, in 26 minutes, only had 1 field goal. It was a big three that gave Auburn the lead, I believe, for good. But he had 7 rebounds. I mean, Dylan on this is the most shocking thing. In 13 minutes, Dylan, no points, no rebounds, although he surely had 1 that they called a foul on. But, I mean, no points, no rebounds, 3 fouls, 2 turnovers. That's the only numbers that showed up in the book for Dylan were 3 fouls and 2 turnovers. And against an Ole Miss team, Dylan Cardwell's got to be pulling down some boards. He's got to be able to, get in there and help Auburn defensively.
I keep wondering if Turtle Hudson becomes more of a possibility.
He crashed hard today. He had a couple of big plays.
We talked about it, I think it was after the A&M game, and I mentioned to somebody watching the A&M game that, like, I wonder if only to, like, if you want to, if, I mean, and you can get into the psychological, like, you can send a message to Dylan or Chaney by playing Turtle Hudson more as well. But the fact is, like, I think it's just to go get rebounds.
Yeah.
Like, I would.
You know
I
who
would,
Auburn's third leading rebounder was today?
Who was
Jedi
it?
Had 15. Chaney had 7. Tahad Pettiford was Auburn's third leading rebounder today. And I didn't think Tahad had a great game. Chad's usually
pretty active on the boards as well. Chad's, a guy who's averaging, 5 or 6 rebounds per game.
Chad did not have a rebound.
Chad also sat the bench a lot in foul trouble. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like a lot. I think there were stretches in the second half where Chad would usually be out there and Auburn wasn't playing him. And Chris is, Yeah, I think Chris has his specializations, right? Like that's a guy that has specialties.
Chris is a solid defender, and he will mix it up and keep balls alive. He's sort of an energy guy.
Hand or finger injury.
He had two fingers on his right hand taped together,
which can't make it easier for him to help out offensively. So it's almost like we were talking about. We went into this game. A big talking point after Alabama was how crucial it is for Chad to stay available and productive for Auburn, because it really puts more on the shoulders of everybody else. That was before you started talking about an injured Chris.
Mm-hmm.
Like now, it's even more crucial for Auburn to have their best Chad over these next couple of games. Tomorrow against whoever it is, Tennessee currently leads Texas in the second half.
Yeah,
they
seem to be slowly pulling away
from
the horns.
Yeah, I would think, and I don't want to speak too soon. Texas has played more than two games, remember?
Yeah, because, double overtime.
Yeah, they played another
against Texas. One of those unbelievable games we were talking about.
Yeah, and it's against A&M too, which is like
physical.
playing
two games every time you play them.
Yeah, it's like playing a football game, and so they're down 10, under 14 left, looking more and more as the second half unfolds like Auburn will be playing the Tennessee Volunteers tomorrow in Nashville. And what a game! You usually get a pretty good one when those two teams cross paths, especially in the Bruce Pearl era, and they've had a couple of memorable ones in the SEC tournament. So if that's the way things shake out, that's the way it looks right now. Auburn and Tennessee could be ready for battle tomorrow.
A player we haven't mentioned who did play very well today, I thought, was Denver Jones.
Yep,
Denver has bounced back
from
that.
First 6 points of the game for Auburn.
Yeah, he did finish with 13 points on 5 of 8 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3-point range, but just one turnover in 31 minutes. And again, that defense that Denver, he just plays suffocating type defense. He's not your big steel type guy, but I mean, he just makes it really tough for guys to either get the ball or, when they have the ball, find open shots.
Billis made a great point on the TV broadcast about Denver Jones, which is you can evaluate what he does when he's defending the person with the ball, but you can also look at the way he denies people, and it's almost like they compared him to like a really strong cover corner.
Yeah,
it's almost
that's very good coverage. Yeah, so he did. He said that the guy that quarterbacks don't throw at.
Yeah, he's Denver Island, right? So that's an interesting thing to think about. And one of the things when Bruce is talking about the ways Denver helps without it necessarily showing up in the box score, that's a big one and a big game for Denver, not only for what he provides offensively, but what he's able to do every single time the other team has the ball.
All right, we will talk more about that. We want to get your thoughts, but we have a couple of special guests that we usually try to get to here in hour number one on Fridays. And we'll start off checking in, see if we can check in with Barrett Salee. When we come back, it's Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here on the Friday edition of The Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
This is Lee County.
NAU.com.
We have efforted our good friend Barrett Salee, who is getting closer and closer to his debut as we get closer to the regular season for Major League Baseball. He'll be the pre- and post-game host on the Braves radio network. We'll see what hopefully we can catch up with Barrett.
I guess you got the games in Japan like early next week, don't you?
Those
teams will be leaving pretty soon to go play the Dodgers and the Cubs. They'll be playing a pair of regular season games to start the year pretty early in the calendar. They'll be playing them in Japan.
Wow.
With the Dodgers, of course, having a couple of the most prominent Japanese stars, and a couple of them are Sasaki and Yamamoto will start for the Dodgers in Japan. Plus, they're bringing the Otani fella as well, who could be
as a backup.
Barrett says his phone wasn't ringing. He's going to try to call us here.
It went straight. It went straight to voicemail twice.
Yeah, well, that's why it's not ringing.
But I know, I dialed the right number because it went straight to his voicemail.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll let him know that if he calls. Yeah. Like I said, he called us last week. You'd think, you know, that we'd be that Barrett would have a decent phone now. He's got a pretty decent gig coming up.
Yeah, so. No kidding. What a great opportunity.
Yeah. All right. So, yeah, we'll talk with Barrett. We'll get your calls in just a little while. We'll see if we can catch up with Coach Sonny Smith as well, get his thoughts on what has been a great SEC basketball tournament to this point. But we are now connected with our good friend Barrett Salee joining us here on the Friday Drive. Hey, Barrett, how you doing, man?
Oh, man, I'm good. Just getting ready to do a little radio here in Atlanta, getting ready for the Braves season.
One of the best times of year, right? Not only is I could selfishly describe it as fantasy baseball season, but it's not just that going on right now because you've got it's an amazing time to be a college basketball fan. Spring football. Hey, we'll wrap up. I blew my chance because we had so much going on. I blew my chance to get Jason Caldwell's usual players, pick or two. So we'll see if we have time with Barrett. But Barrett, we were just saying before we brought you on. I was worried it was the wrong number, but it was decidedly your voicemail that it was going straight to. So it's great that we were able to get connected.
Yeah, I don't know what was wrong. It's the second time today at the station that my phone hasn't rung. I don't know what the deal is. But anyway, I'm here. I'm excited and looking down at the battery and a lot of people hustle and bustle around Truist Park. So, man, I'm excited.
A scare today with Austin Riley.
Oh, man. Yeah, that was a tough hour. That was a tough hour of our lives. It was like PTSD from last year, right? And if you watch the video, it looked exactly like last year. Mm-hmm. So, CT scan was negative, which is good. Doesn't have to come back here, doesn't have to do anything. But I would wrap that dude in bubble wrap and not let him back on the field for the rest of spring training. Just keep him away.
Yeah, really, really good news that, I mean, if it were, you know, regular season or, you know, big series, something like that going on, he could play. That's great. Just want to have him and everybody as healthy as possible, man. I mean, it seems like it's really as far as the progression with Spencer Strider and Ronald Acuna, it seems like everything is coming along as well or better than hope. But man, yeah, you don't need any more of the of those prize gems, you know, in danger of being damaged.
No, and I think there is good news, too, on Strider. They're thinking middle, late April, which, you know, I think that's a little quicker than maybe a lot of folks thought. So things are starting to look up. It doesn't seem like we're bitten or we've been bit by last year's injury bug as much as maybe we could have thought. And, you know, it's, you know, in this game, the 6-minute playoffs, I don't think there's a need to rush players back, at least not as much as there has been in years past when the playoffs were condensed. So, you know, I think that explains a little bit more about why Strider and Acuna are they're being patient with them. But, man, it's a fun time. It's great to hear that Strider's coming back soon. And, I mean, honestly, Ronnie could probably play right now, but give him a month off, let him get back to 100% and get him to trust that knee, and we'll be good to go.
I wonder, I mean, do you think we'll ever see him, you know, being able to push those limits as far as stolen bases, though, after a couple of these injuries?
I don't think we'll see it. I think he can do it. I just don't think that aggressive.
Right, there's no reason to push it.
No, there's not. I think the biggest thing, though, is, you know, rounding bases with him. That's like, if you talk to folks with ACL injuries that play baseball, it's like the rounding the bases is harder than just straight line speed. Straight line
pressure
speed,
it puts on the, you know, ACL when you hit the bag and round.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's the hardest part. That's usually the last thing that you know they feel comfortable with. You know, changing direction in the outfield, things like that. But with that said, do you really want him to risk it? You know, when he had all those boppers behind him, and you know, might not need him to get in scoring position right away. So, you know, I think he can be a 70 stolen base guy again. I just don't think that really they need to. And It's up to him, though. He's got the green light all the time, so you never know how aggressive he'll be, because in his mind, he's always in scoring position.
I mean, it's a pretty good roster, even considering that you're going to start the year without Acuna, without Murphy, presumably without Riley. I mean, we'll see if he's ready for opening day. I mean, we'll see if he's ready for opening
day. I'd be surprised if he's out for opening day.
Yeah, you're right.
I think
if it were a little bit closer to opening day, that'd be more in jeopardy. And you're right. And Strider, who's on top of Fried having left, I would think that Holmes and I'm trying to think who.
Anderson.
I guess and Smith-Shawver would be the other one competing. Although I guess it's easier to keep him in the minors than the other two.
Yeah, it's definitely easier to keep him Smith-Shawver down because he's got options, and you know he's I think it's Saturday. He's pitching split squad game, so I think the plan for him is that he goes down to Gwinnett, but. I think it's been encouraging to see what Ian Anderson has done. I know folks will look at that box score from a couple days ago and see four runs, but two of those were after he sat on the bench for like an hour and a half as the Braves put up 9 runs. So, I mean, you don't really excuse it all that much, but, you know, with that big of a lead, you know, he's experimenting and things didn't work out, and that's fine. And he doesn't have any options. So it's going to be Grant Holmes and Ian Anderson, and then those two are going to duke it out once Strider gets back. But I think the Braves are very confident with both of those guys.
Yeah, this is we were talking about it a little last time. I mean, the NL East is a little stronger, I think, this year. I mean, the Phillies and Mets are definite definite teams that'll be battling with the Braves there for the NL East. But man, is there anybody? Dan's over here and he's got that smug look because he's a big Dodgers guy.
Oh no, right? I thought you were going to see if you could work in. I thought you were going to try to work in the Nationals or the Marlins somewhere in the NL East.
No.
In the NL East conversation.
I mean, they've got some young talent.
That's what
Both of them have some serious young talent.
I think the Marlins are several years and probably in a new organization away from. But like, the Nationals. I mean, the Nationals more than a lot of teams. I think to their credit. While it's a shame they let some of the marquee talent leave because they probably had a title window, if you keep Soto and you keep Bryce and you keep Trey Turner and like you keep some of those guys that were Nationals at their peak, they let those guys go. I think they tried to make the best out of it with trades and a vision for the future as opposed to
the Marlins.
Like, okay, sure. Or the Angels. Right, you think about how the Angels have let Otani. You think about the Angels. You know the way they've handled some impending free agents in a way where they just feel there are some organizations that feel adrift. You could maybe say that about the Nationals, or you could maybe say that about the Marlins. You could argue it. The Nationals, I don't think are
no. Like, Nationals have a clue.
It's maybe not this year.
Definitely not this year, but. Some of the bats they have, that James kid they have, the 6'7" kid, is really good.
Yep.
They're headed in the right direction. It's just the direction that they're headed is up against the Phillies, Mets, and Braves. So you're kind of banging your head against the wall there. But they've restocked that minor league system, and they've sort of taken the approach as the Braves did, in the middle 2010s, where they kind of gave up. They stocked up their farm system and look what happened. So I think they're not a pushover. They have smart ownership. They have a firm idea of what they are, who they want to be, which is a 180 degree turn from the Marlins.
Talking with Barrett Salee here on the Friday edition of The Drive. Barrett, want to get your thoughts. I mean, obviously you're getting ready for baseball and everything, but you as millions and millions of people are doing, will be watching postseason basketball. Conference tournament play is going on right now. Auburn gets a win. Wasn't pretty, but they needed to stop a 2-game skid and got a win a little earlier today. We're just a few days away from Selection Sunday and then everybody putting their brackets together. Auburn's going to be a 1 seed, but folks know you're an Auburn alum. This has been a special season. But are you a little concerned about what you've seen from Auburn here the last few times out?
Yeah, I mean, they look sloppy. It doesn't seem like they have that killer instinct, right? Like, you watch them against Ole Miss today, And it's like they couldn't put him away. And ultimately, mm-hmm. you know, dang near lost the game. Now, you know, at the very end, you know, Jahni Broome kind of took over, and that's great. That's what he's supposed to do. But it doesn't seem like they have the ability to just dominate opponents now. And, yeah, it's the SEC, but still, they did that against a bunch of SEC teams too. Is that going to matter? I don't know. Probably the first couple of rounds will be fine, but you can't play like they did today and expect to win a national championship. So confidence is gone a little bit, but, you know, like, you're talking about, you know, one of the best teams in the country. So, you know, you nitpick a little bit, but I just, to me, it's a little bit of a different team. You know, I think mm-hmm. before it was just kind of like they were a machine. Right, they were just relentless. They don't seem to have that right now.
They seem to have. There seems like there's a seed of doubt that's there.
Yeah,
and they, yeah, you sure. know, they if they get a big win, maybe they'll have the opportunity tomorrow. Now they've got. Sure, looks like Tennessee is going to be the matchup tomorrow in the semis.
And the fact that the Looking fact like, that they've yeah. been able to, I mean, you've had performances like the ones you've gotten out of Broome today and against Alabama. And they're still. I mean, the Bama game was a close loss, and this game came down to the final few possessions. I think it really speaks to like this isn't a drop off there. Like,
no, it's not Jahni's fault.
Yeah,
no.
I mean, you look and it's Jahni. I mean, it's a need for the rest of the team that has been so brilliant all season long when Auburn was the best team in the country. It's about those guys needing to play up to that standard in order to keep Auburn from being a one-man show with the National Player of the Year.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you've seen Tahad Pettiford take over a couple games. You know, we've seen, you know, Dylan Cardwell sort of do the same. So, you know, in the past, there's always been, like, that guy, right? And you don't know who it is, but there's always been somebody that, you know, pops up, and it's usually a different guy each night. But now mm-hmm. it's kind of like they're struggling to find the hot hand. They're struggling to find – you know, the player who has the confidence each and every game. So, you know, Jahni Broome's going to get you there. He's going to get you a position to win, but you got to follow through. And they did a great job of that for the first 3 months of the season. This past week and a half has been a little rough, though.
Oh, no question about it. Barrett, so you've got radio coming up here in a little while. Let everybody know what all you've got on tap and then how they can continue to keep up and follow you.
Yeah, doing an afternoon drive every day for the next week and a half before I get put in full-on baseball mode with pre and post for the Braves across the Braves Radio Network, which, man, I'm pumped about. It's a lot of fun. Just I stepped outside to walk around the battery a little while ago, and you can feel the buzz in the air.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, and it's just people walking around. We don't even have fans yet. It's just folks walking around the battery. So it's kind of nice to sort of imagine what it's going to look like here in a few weeks.
Is it based out of the battery there? Are you going on?
I can hit a sand wedge and hit the stadium.
Are you doing them for home and road from the battery?
Yeah,
okay,
people can tune into
the Braves. You know, if they find the Braves Radio Network affiliates and listen that way. You can find it on the MLB app as well. You can stream games with the different offerings they have mm-hmm. through MLB. You're following in the footsteps of, I mean, whether it's Jerome Jurenovich, right, who I always remember from growing up and watching Headline News, who also was a big part of the Braves Network. Tony Schiavone did that job for a while. Who you can find, you know, absolutely Tony Schiavone did that job for a long time. So I mean, it's you're there are some legends, some genuine legends. That sat in that seat.
I have reputable CNN folks and wrestling folks to follow.
I'll tell you, I'll tell you what. I tried to get Schiavone for the podcast with Ferguson. It's like a dream guest. Like it was like I think it was maybe for his birthday. Like I tried to get Schiavone as a surprise, and he's not someone who does a lot of outside media. He has his own podcast, and he does AEW TV twice a week, but he's not
right.
Doesn't do a lot of outside appearances. But that guy was Georgia's radio guy for a while. He did the
legend.
Georgia pregame and postgame
in our business.
And yeah, was on the Braves radio for a long time, and is still broadcasting wrestling to this day on WBD programming.
Yeah, he's a legend.
Great stuff, Barrett. Man, it's always fun when we have you on. We really appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, y'all too. Have a good one.
All right, Barrett Salee joining us here on the Friday Drive. Yeah.
He's the best.
That is,
and that's going to be amazing.
That is a dream. Yeah, that is a dream.
I mean, he's
dream job.
And the Braves, especially for someone who grew up in the Southeast, someone who grew up as a fan. I mean, the Braves radio network was everywhere. Braves. I mean,
it was Dale Murphy's birthday a couple of days ago, and Barrett posted a picture of thanking Dale for giving him his batting gloves when he was there as a 3-year-old. So you got 3-year-old Barrett Salee with Dale Murphy's batting gloves and Dale Murphy, you know, a couple of years back.
And that would have been 2 or 3 stadiums ago for the Atlanta Braves.
Yeah, but that's how big a Braves fan.
No, it's of course with the way the TV networks were, right? I mean back in the day, like the Braves and the Cubs were
superstations.
Those were the two stations that the two teams you could watch practically every day.
Yeah, you watch the Cubs in the afternoon and the Braves at night.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
They have a huge football.
America's team.
Of those, I think especially for a generation of kids there from the 80s and 90s. And that includes our good buddy Barrett.
Oh, yeah. All right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break, and we'll see if we can swing right into some time with Coach Sonny Smith as we continue here on the Friday Drive.
Big eating in Auburn and Opelika means Big Mike Steakhouse. Famous for high
on all of us here.
It's been a while.
On a Friday. As Dan, of course, has the week off before you will be back broadcasting next week with the Troy women and the WNIT. Just don't know against who or where it'll be.
That's right. And Troy, only 4 mid-major women's basketball teams averaged 78 points a game or more this season. Troy Trojans are one of them. They bring that firepower into the postseason again. They went to the semis last year in the WNIT, and I don't think they're coming to participate this year, Bill. I think if they decide, because they got a bunch of seniors that could have decided, hey, right, let's call it a season. I think they're coming to try to take this thing home.
Meanwhile, Auburn is in the semifinals of the SEC tournament. Tigers in a real battle today against the Ole Miss Rebels, knocked them off 62-57, and they will play the winner of the Tennessee-Texas game, which appears to be the Vols, as they're up 14 with just over 4 minutes to play, 75-61.
Yeah, air just sort of slowly leaking out of the Texas balloon in this second half.
But it looks like they're in the tournament. It looks like they're in the big dance.
Understandable, though, I think with people are talking like it's going to come down to Texas or North Carolina for one spot.
Texas was the last team in, according to Lenardi today.
And a lot of projections that had North Carolina out of the field. North Carolina.
Lenardi had North Carolina the second team out.
Right, and a Duke win tonight, even without Cooper Flagg.
Duke tonight, Texas probably back out.
I think Texas and North Carolina are both holding their breath on Selection Sunday, unless North Carolina wins the ACC tournament outright. Tennessee, has been gaining control, I think, steadily over the course of the second half of this one. We'll see if Texas can make a last stand in the closing minutes, or if they're going to have to sweat out Selection Sunday after their elimination from this tournament.
But it looks like Auburn will be taking on Tennessee. It was a 2-point game at Neville Arena earlier this season, and we are thrilled to be joined as we continue here on the Friday Drive by Hall of Famer Coach Sonny Smith. Joining us here. Sonny, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Man, absolutely, absolutely doing well, because this is such a great time of year, isn't it?
It's a season to do well right now.
You are right. I mean, I love watching. Man, the SEC tournament has had game after game after game. Now, this one here looks like Tennessee's in control, but that's the way I felt last night when I decided it was getting a little too late for me. And Kentucky was up about a dozen over Oklahoma with under 3 minutes to go. That's when I turned out the lights, and I didn't know till this morning that Kentucky had to have Owe had to hit a shot with a half a second left to give them a win.
No question. Kentucky's got a great team, but everybody in this league is extremely tough. And everybody in this league, if you let them control the tempo that they play, they can be in the game all the time. Like the game today was controlled by the tempo of the team that lost. But they stayed in the game. They weren't as good as the team they were playing, but they stayed in the game to the end. And I think you saw that yourself, didn't you?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, they mentioned in the first half that it was a game more to Chris Beard's liking as far as the way the game was going. And, you know, Ole Miss cut down on the turnovers in the second half. It looked like a couple of times Auburn had an opportunity to go ahead and stretch things out. They get out to a 9 or 10 point lead, but credit Ole Miss, they'd be able to fight back and cut it down. And it was a tight one there. Jahni Broome playing like the player of the year today. He was the difference in the ball game with a 23 points and 15 rebounds.
Well, what's happened here is if you can get Auburn in a game that they play the way they don't want to, let's say if you want to hold the ball on them, or if you wanted to up-tempo and run on them, try to do something that Auburn's not good at and try to keep them from doing what they do, you can stay in the game. And as a good example of that today was holding the ball, taking shots late in the shot clock. And I think people are coming up with a feeling that you might could beat Auburn if you could control the tempo of the game. I don't know that they can, because we defend so well. We're able to, I think, run people out of the strategies that they use, if that makes any sense.
No, Auburn, a couple of times forced shot clock violations by Ole Miss. Because they had a difficult time finding open shots. That's the good thing, is that with just a couple of exceptions this year, I mean, you can count on Auburn to be holding teams down below what they normally do offensively.
There's no question. The thing, somebody asked me, said, how could you beat Auburn as good as they are defensively? Well, one thing about it, you would have to control the tempo. You would also have to make threes on a fairly regular basis. And you would have to keep your people out of foul trouble, because Auburn runs an offense that pretty much gets you in foul trouble if you guard them like you want to. And so getting people in foul trouble, controlling the tempo of the game, has won a lot of games for Auburn this year.
Coach, I was really impressed, and I know he's been struggling of late. I thought Chaney taking the three-point shot with 5-6 minutes to go in a
tie game,
and willing to hit that one. I thought that was, you know, one of the moments of the game. And then at the end, you know, we were talking about it earlier, the rebound of the year for Auburn is Ole Miss. Yeah. Ole Miss misses the three-point shot that would have tied it, and there's a scramble down low. You have Denver flip it to Jahni, who flips it back outside, and eventually it leads to a three-point play on the other end for Chad.
Yeah. This Auburn team has more stars, I think more stars than we give credit for. We have a go-to guy who will come out on nights that you didn't expect, a guy like him, for instance. And I think that's what makes this team so good. We don't have to rely on one game. We don't have to rely on Broome to beat people for us. Somebody will step up when one guy's off and makes this team go.
I still, it's great to get a win, but I'm still a little concerned about the help in the front court that, Auburn's going to need more offense from Chaney Johnson. They're going to need more from Dillon. Dillon didn't have a point or a rebound today. And Ole Miss is a team that Auburn has a size advantage against. They're not going to have that every time out. Auburn's going to have to be prepared to face what they have faced here in the last three ball games. That's very physical play from other teams looking to sort of, push them around and see if they can outwork them on the boards.
That the only way I think you said a lot of it right there. The only way you're going to beat Auburn is control the tempo and knock down threes and stay out of foul trouble. If you're not doing two of those three things or all three of those things, you're not going to beat them, because Auburn is a very powerful team. And the one thing I don't think we give enough credit to, Bill, is when we substitute, we don't drop off a lot. Our kids that go in for somebody, they contribute maybe in a different way, but we don't drop off. And And I think our bench should get a lot of credit for things that have gone on here.
I think the capability of the bench to produce is there, but that reliance on the bench is why it's vital for individuals to stay out of foul trouble. Right, like that.
There's no question.
That impacted the playing time today, yep, with the amount Janai had to go because of Chaney and Dylan and Chad. I think one of the reasons Chad couldn't really get into a rhythm offensively, besides the fact that Ole Miss really seemed to be intent on keeping Chad from getting into a rhythm offensively, but he also had to sit for long stretches because he was in foul trouble.
You think about this, Bill. I don't think anybody's going to beat Auburn unless they can control the tempo of the game. I really don't. And who could do that? Auburn's defense pretty much dictates the way you play instead of the way you want to play.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Coach, you asked who could do that,
and we both pointed at the TV screen where Tennessee's playing. That is going to be a tough, tough challenge because – Their guards don't turn it over much, and they don't mind getting into a slower-paced, physical kind of game.
And that list that Denver Jones made, the 10 semifinalists for National Defensive Player of the Year, two Tennessee Volunteers, Ziegler and Mayshak, made that list of the nation's 10 best defensive players this year. So if you're worried about ball pressure on your guards, Tennessee, I mean, Tennessee is
going to do it.
I mean, yeah, it's among the last teams you want to see in the nation. Yeah.
Hey, fortunately, you're not going to see anybody that good. The SEC tournament is so good, and these teams are so good in this league.
That's true.
You're not going to face anybody that good for multiple games in the NCAA tournament.
No, I totally agree with that. This might be from top to bottom one of the strongest years in the SEC. Because the bottom teams are fully capable of being tournament teams. And so it's been a great year for the Southeastern Conference because of the quality of the teams.
Yeah, I mean, you look at 2 6-12 teams in Texas and Oklahoma. Here's Texas in the third, in the quarterfinals in Oklahoma, an eyelash away from knocking off Kentucky last night.
The SEC could conceivably have four of the six best teams in the country in its semifinals tomorrow. I mean, if the four teams that got the byes today, Auburn, Tennessee, Florida, and Alabama were to win, I mean, that's final four.
That's 2 1s and 2 2 seeds, national seeds.
That's a final four caliber semifinal for the SEC on Saturday, Coach.
That's absolutely true right there. That is absolutely true. I don't believe I've seen, having coached in the league for a number of years and watched it off and on doing radio and television, I don't think I've ever seen a league where the league's in is stronger than it is from top to bottom.
No.
You can go through. You've had great years in the SEC, and when you say start great years, first name comes out is Kentucky, and some of the names up close to Kentucky you never think of. But I think the league is stronger right now from top to bottom, and I've seen it in a few years without a doubt.
Oh, no question. Well, who do you like here? I mean, obviously, I think we'd all like Auburn, but I mean, who do you think is the toughest? The hardest team that Auburn could face that could win this title.
It's going to sound crazy, but I don't want them to have to play Tennessee for the championship. That type of thing. We're talking about the team that I least would like to play. I think Tennessee would bother me. I don't think the way that Florida plays would bother me. Well, I think they probably got the best team in the league.
Yep.
But I think the way Tennessee can control tempo and the guard play can take care of the ball, I think they could be a dangerous team that people wouldn't be ready for, but they're not the best team in the league by any stretch, what I'm talking about here.
Yeah, I mean,
matchups. Yeah.
Well, I don't think it's a coincidence, Coach, that one of the things that make those four Final Four caliber teams that got the quarterfinal byes in the SEC, all of them are really old in the backcourt, right? You think about Ziegler and Mayshak and Chaz Lanier. You think about Florida with Richard and with Carter, right? I mean, you've got of course Alabama, Sears. I mean, in Alabama, and then of course what Auburn's bringing. Like, it's not a coincidence that one of those things, as different as their styles are, like one of the things they've got in common is guards who have played a ton of college basketball.
Yes, that's right. Well, I'll tell you this: You can't win big games without guards. Your guards going to dictate how good a basketball team that you have. Guard play, I think, is the most important thing, and it also it becomes more a little bit more important when it gets to play towards the Final Four.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree.
And I think guards are going to make the difference in where you're going. I like our guards. I think they can do what we have to have done.
No question about it. Sonny, always a pleasure. We really appreciate you spending a little time with us. And hopefully we can do it again next week.
Oh, we will. You know I'll be there. I enjoy being with you guys. Thank you.
Thanks, Sonny. Have a great weekend. Coach Sonny Smith joining us here on the Friday Drive. We'll get to our final break of hour number one. Stick with us.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Spring is
Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390.
Out of time for hour number one, and just about out of time for the Texas Longhorns in the SEC tournament.
I hate that we had to sort of rush Sonny off the air there at the end, but you saw how close we were cutting
That timed it perfectly. Sonny's perfect. All right. Tennessee up 10 with just under 40 seconds to play, so it looks like Auburn, Tennessee tomorrow at noon, 11:30, regardless of who the opponent will be the airtime on Wings. All right, we're back with hour number two. We'll open up the phone lines. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
From Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome into hour number two of the Friday Drive. You heard the numbers. We'd love for you to join in. We had a couple of special guests with us, as we do each Friday, Barrett Salee and then Coach Sonny Smith. But we're wide open here at hour number two and would love to hear from you. Auburn advancing to the semifinals of the SEC basketball tournament with a 62-57 win. The Tigers will be taking on the Tennessee Vols, who knocked off Texas 83-72. The third game today ought to get started on time. Remember, it was an hour or more late yesterday getting started because of the double overtime and the close ball game. Mm-hmm. I mean, when games are coming down to the wire, they're going to be more fouls, they're going to be more reviews, they're going to be more timeouts. Didn't have much of that in the Tennessee-Texas game. So you have the matchup for the first semifinal tomorrow with Auburn and Tennessee. Florida-Missouri will be the first game this evening at 6 o'clock, followed by Alabama and Kentucky. And the winners there will play the second semifinal tomorrow. Now, speaking of tomorrow, there is a threat of some severe weather all across the South tomorrow, including here in Auburn. And as a result, all of Auburn University athletics a competition that was scheduled for tomorrow has been moved to 11 o'clock tomorrow morning. Auburn baseball against Vandy, Auburn softball against Texas A&M, and Auburn tennis also. All of those will start at 11 o'clock tomorrow.
The belief is that around 6 p.m., maybe a little earlier than that, 5 p.m., the weather's going to get pretty unforgiving for the rest of the day, the rest of the night into Sunday, dangerously so. And so the desire, I think, is to have the events done with well in time. Unfortunately, it's a nice problem to have, right, Bill? But unfortunately, with Auburn's victory today in Nashville,
that means that is a noon start tomorrow against Tennessee. So, it'll be tough. I'm sure there will be people at those events who will either be watching or listening or both. To Auburn, Tennessee basketball.
You gonna make it tomorrow morning and break out the YouTube? Break out the YouTube TV, maybe on the phone.
I mean, if I go, yeah, that's what
you
I'll
do. You can do it, yeah.
I like, but I
I know you don't like multitasking at the ballpark.
Honestly, look, I've never been one. If there's an event, if there's a sporting event I really want to watch, I don't need to be distracted a whole lot.
You don't need to be. Yeah, you don't need to be trying to get, take in two at once.
No, I mean I don't know. I mean I may, but that's going to be tough tomorrow.
I get you.
So just wanted to let everybody know that all those things are going on tomorrow. That means Auburn baseball will be here on ESPN 106.7 tomorrow at 10:45.
Yeah, on the rare occasions where there's a scheduling conflict between men's basketball and baseball, Wings 94.3 plays the basketball game. You can catch the baseball game here on ESPN 106.7. Something else to keep in mind with basketball season. We talked about this a little bit with Barry earlier in the week. Barry McKnight, voice of the Troy Trojans, who joined us. You can catch that on the podcast because the Trojans are going dancing. But it's the fact that there are different streaming rights when you get into the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to listen to Andy's call of Auburn's NCAA tournament game, your best bet is to be able to listen to Wings 94.3 on the radio. Like if you're in the Auburn Opelika area and you want to be able to listen to that, because the streaming rules are different for every varsity network.
There are exclusive streaming rights.
Yes, and Westwood One or Varsity, whoever does it, has their own streaming teams. So if you want to hear Andy's call of the game, you need to be listening to the radio.
Tonight, in about 40 minutes, pregame for Auburn Vandy. It is the opening game of the SEC season for the Tigers and for the Commodores. And so that'll be coming up. 5:45 will be the airtime on Wings. And our good friend Tex, once again, since he does live in Baton Rouge, he's here as much as he can be, unable to be here this weekend. So if you're interested in some tickets for the Auburn-Vandy series, either tonight's, tomorrow's, or Sunday's, you can call in and we will get you in touch with Tex and see if we can get you set up with a couple of tickets.
Right. And so how are you feeling about the baseball team going into the series this weekend against Vandy?
I don't know. Vandy is another – they're a top 15 team, as they always are. I mean, Auburn, I think with Sam Dutton on the mound tonight, I think Auburn's got a shot. Now, they will not have Ike Irish, not only for this weekend. He's out for around 10 days, Thompson says. Maybe a couple of weeks. Fractured scapula. That is a shoulder blade, folks.
Fractured
shoulder blade.
Hopefully when he's back, however long it takes for him to return, hopefully he's not dealing with anything lingering from that. You know how shoulders are. Bill, it just, hopefully, the fact that it's a break rather than maybe, something muscular is maybe good news in that mm-hmm. sense. But we were just talking with Jason about the importance of starting conference play with some momentum. Auburn was Auburn was buried, right? They were 1-8 after their first 9 games in SEC play last year. And you don't look at 1-8 and say, all right, well, let's go out. Let's win 12 of the next 15. You feel like you're in big trouble at that point. So Auburn is Auburn needs to find a way to start it with momentum. It's gonna be tough against Vanderbilt without Ike.
Yeah, I mean Vandy's always good, and look, Auburn also goes on the road for the next 2 series. So I mean it would really be very beneficial to win the series against Vandy if possible. And again, it starts tonight, 6:00, first pitch, with Sam Dutton on the mound for the Tigers. Because next week Auburn goes to Lexington. So Auburn baseball will be in Lexington next weekend, and Auburn hoping basketball. Expecting basketball is going to be in Lexington as well.
There's a belief that you could have, just like last year with Nashville. Yeah. You could have Auburn basketball and baseball in the same location with Auburn in the postseason. It could work out that way. It feels like Auburn still has, especially with the win today, the inside track. I think with the win
they
today.
They are a 1 seed. Are they the number 1 seed?
Yeah.
But they are definitely. they're definitely a one seed.
Yeah, I think it'd be surprising now to take somebody else as the top overall seed. Auburn's profile with the win over Ole Miss. I think you know, if it was three, like we were saying, if you're going with three straight losses, that's one thing. Three losses in four games is a little bit different. I think it'd be tough to exclude Auburn in that sense.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline. Sponsored by Skybar. We'd love for you to join in on that. You can also text us on the Drive text box, presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors. That number is 334-564-1840. We're in hour number two of the Drive, and that is brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care, with locations in Auburn and Opelika. On the web at orthoclinic.com.
You can also text the show 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the text box, or they'll sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your favorite podcast. We got a couple people on the phone who want tickets, Bill.
All right.
So I'll tell you what we're going to do, is we're going to go to break, we'll let you sort this out with text and the tickets. So we'll take our first break.
All right, we will do that. Come on in and join us here on the Friday Drive.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck.
Welcome back into the Friday Drive. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn here in the studio, and we'd love to hear from you.
Can we say briefly how much we appreciate the coach coming in second time this week after and was ready to come in on Monday, right, in case the Trojans made the jump to
For sure.
So did you get any sleep last night? I mean, you were trying to watch basketball, aren't you? Well, I took
a little nap, and then I woke up and almost had a heart attack and woke my wife up.
You're a Kentucky
guy. I am a Kentucky fan, and it's been tough the last couple of years. But, you know, we had a 10-point lead, or they did, and then, my gosh, I blinked and we were losing.
They were still losing. They were still playing when you got done there on the on the you know whatever.
I know.
Time to you know, put the fire
I
out.
I know. I told my wife, I said, I'm just going to go on into work.
Crazy. I mean, Kentucky. I didn't realize it again until today, and then watching the replay, I had no idea. I mean, Kentucky with the ball in a 3-point lead and just turned it over back-to-back times, and all of a sudden they're down one.
Same guy who made the winning seconds. Shot.
Yeah. Oklahoma Sooner.
That's twice he's done that.
Oh, man. Just.
Yeah, they're going to struggle tonight, Bill, like we were talking about. Even with the guards healthy, Alabama's just
without
better.
Lamont Butler, though, against that Alabama.
Yeah, they'll never get the ball Alabama down.
I get the sense that we're all sort of anticipating two one-sided games in the evening slate with the teams. I mean, it feels like
you're going to see Alabama-Florida playing tomorrow.
The better teams are the more rested teams in both of these games, and the SEC could have 1, 2, 3, and 4 in the semifinals. Bill, we were talking about it on the day you missed, and I don't know if you're back to solid food, so I want to be careful.
No, not yet.
I want to be careful about this, but we were saying – you never think about the turkey when you go to a barbecue restaurant, right? There's other things that are top of mind, but they got some good
Bill
turkey.
Bill knows
they
about
got some,
the turkey.
They got some
oh, yes,
real
absolutely.
Good, some I mean, real good turkey.
Yep.
We
didn't get a chance. As a matter of fact, we went Sunday, and Kathy was really toying with the idea of the chicken and dumplings, but opted for, I forgot exactly what she got, but it was great.
So. Oh, yeah. We were
I think
packed.
She just got a veggie platter.
Yeah, that's a good choice, We haven't been as busy this week because, you know, everybody's gone.
Spring break,
and
that's right.
A lot of people in Nashville, and now tomorrow everybody's scared to death of the weather. So.
Well, and I think people could be entertaining next weekend for the NCAA tournament games.
You could have
a little bit of business there where, you know, what a better way to treat your guests right if you're entertaining for that NCAA tournament.
That's right.
Let's get to the Drive hotline. Oh, by the way, I want to let you know, I was just talking about we had some tickets for Auburn Vandy baseball. We've given away the Friday tickets. We have Tex has given these away. Blaine is going tonight, and then Philly Fanatic has got Texas Sunday tickets, and he joins us here on the drive. Hey, Fanatic, how you doing?
I'm excited about going to the new or renovated or new improved better baseball stadium there on 1 o'clock on Sunday. You know, I've sat in Texas seats before, and they're really great.
They are.
Yeah,
this time you'll have
tickets though, right? You've
yeah. yeah, that's true. I snuck in the last time, right? As far as Auburn's basketball game today and hopefully tomorrow, they start out way too sluggish. What were they, like 2-for-7? And you cannot do that against Tennessee. If they have that same performance, I'm not sure they're going to be able to come back, because Tennessee, man, they don't make a lot of mistakes, especially on defense.
No, they don't. Auburn can't. Well, Auburn sure can't do what they did today unless they hit them. Yeah. They came out just firing threes. Remember, at the start of the ball game, I think 8 of their first 9 or 9 of their first 10 shots were threes.
Yep. I want to give the shout-out to two players that I talked to people about, Chris Moore and the Turtle, and they said, oh, they don't do anything. You know, they're not that good players. Well, they come in, and they came in when they need a rebound or they need defense. And there may not be any stats on for those guys, but they need those guys.
You know, I think Bruce Pearl has played what's a difficult, you know, it's a challenge to distribute the minutes when you have this many options and this many players, and especially when you have long-standing allegiances to some of these players, right? Guys that have been here, in the case of Chris, his entire college career, Dylan, his entire college career, Janai, 3 years. I don't think that those loyalties factor in when you're deciding to play Dylan or Chaney over Turtle. Like, they can't factor in now. No. Maybe earlier in the season it was a matter of trust and you felt like you could trust. But we were saying it, Philly, after the A&M game, right? Like, I wonder if Turtle is an option when you're not getting production out of Chaney and Dylan that you need, not just in scoring.
Turtle came in and got 2 big rebounds.
Yeah,
he just went up and he outmanned. I mean, he went up and snatched a rebound and put it back in, and I mean that was really critical, because at that time it felt like Ole Miss was gaining the advantage inside.
Yeah, no question about it. I was surprised when Turtle stole that ball, went down, and it was blocked. Yeah. I bet he was like, "Where's this guy coming from?"
Did
create the turnover. speaking of which, there was that very strange play where Ole Miss dunked where Ole Miss blocked the Chaney transition dunk, and it went off the back of the iron and out of bounds, and it was Ole Miss ball. And it was like, I was like,
no, they didn't think Ole Miss touched it. I think is the explanation I heard.
Well, the guy
he just missed the dunk that bad.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, well, unless you thought that the guy tapped the ball out of Chaney's hand and Chaney tried to finish the dunk anyway, and that's why he slammed it off the rim. But it looked like a block to me.
It was definitely off them.
And then it was just Ole Miss basketball. They're showing the replay, and then we're coming back, and Ole Miss is taking the ball up the floor. What's going on?
You ought to be used to it.
I saw another play in slow motion when Ole Miss missed the ball. Denver Jones, he dove for it, and then he hit it back to Auburn player had to hit it back to Mazzara, and he went down and dunked it.
Yeah, to Janai.
It seemed like that ball hit the end line.
Oh, it did. It did. When Janai was trying to get it and save it, it definitely hit the end line.
That should have been out. But anyway, it gave Auburn a 3-point play.
Sure did.
Well, when you got these guys that are so good that are jumping around all over the place, I don't see how you can keep up with it, like the play you were just talking about.
No, you're right. I mean, you could go over and review every play, and the game could take 6 hours, but there's no way.
just make the calls. They're going to go both ways. Yeah. I mean, the referees don't
I thought it ended up being pretty fair today. I mean, you know, they missed some, but I didn't think it was, egregious either way.
Yeah, there weren't any of these review calls. There weren't a lot of review calls.
I'll tell you what. I don't know if I mean there were some moments where I thought the officiating struggled, but it was physical in that first half too. Like I don't know if I necessarily wanted to watch a version of that first half where you called a foul on every play down low, both for Auburn. Now I think Janai would have appreciated it, because Janai was the recipient of a lot of that contact around. There's the one Janai hits a basket going through two guys
It doesn't seem to matter. Yeah. I mean, Janai does. He takes quite a few shots.
Yeah, they collapse on him as soon as he gets the ball. You know, and then he's pushing one guy to to make the layup, pushing him backwards, and another guy comes in. Be hard to push two guys at the same That's time.
Right. And teams that have someone who can match up with Janai physically are less likely to try that than a team like Ole Miss, where they're going to have to swarm to stop Janai when he gets the ball around the basket. But it was, it was not easy. Like people thought, like, okay, well, Ole Miss is undersized among the, among the teams Auburn could play in the quarterfinal. It's going to be it's going to be pretty easy for Auburn's front court to get through them. No. Like it should actually be the other way around, where Ole Miss is going to have to pay so much attention to the Auburn front court. You think it'll be easier for the back court to be able to produce? That's sort of the Florida thinking, right? As teams are trying to stop those forwards, and it opens things up for a Clayton, or for who I think I called Carter earlier, but a Clayton or a Richard. It was not easy for the Auburn. Janai was getting that attention, but it was not easy for the Auburn guards today, even despite that.
Yeah, it's a little tough for our 6'1 guard, and he gets posted up a lot because he's always going to be the smallest guy on the team, and he's up against 6'4, 6'5 guys. He almost has to foul him because they're going to be able to just take him in, or they're going to shoot over him. But I thought he played reasonably well. I like the Ole Miss guard. What's his name? The point guard?
Juju? Or no, Padula. You're talking about Sean Padula.
He was under the basket several times when Broome and other guys were around him, and he just spun the ball right around him. I mean, that's an incredible – not many people can do that.
Oh, was he not talking about Sean Padula?
No, he's talking about the little point guard.
Oh, okay. I thought he was.
Padula. I got the name wrong. But anyway, he's the one that two or three times he had the ball underneath when Auburn was guarding him, and he was able to spin the ball the other way to make the layup.
Around Janai a couple of times. Padula's more known for his 3-point shooting this year, and his touch around the basket I thought was
he really shot it well in Oxford against Auburn.
Yeah, he had that one air ball that cost him near the end of the game, but you can't blame it just on him. But because if they'd have hit the backboard, at least they would have had a chance for it. But when it just goes out of bounds,
You raised an interesting point earlier, Philly, and it reminds me of something Bill said when we were talking about things before the show, where I wonder, Tahad has not been at his absolute best of late. Yeah. And I wonder this is the most minutes he's ever played in a basketball season. Yep. I would imagine, especially Bruce Pearl style minutes. Like this is when it would start to catch up with him. Like the wear and tear of the college basketball.
Well, he is being called on to play more defense, I'm sure, than he's ever been in his life. Yeah. And that's something you have to for Bruce. And Tahad right now is, I'd say, probably the weak link among the guards defensively.
And I don't think the plan I don't think the plan going into the season was for Tahad to be this much of a weight-bearing piece of the team.
No, J.P. Pegues was expected to be playing 20-plus minutes.
And the fact is, like, you look we've seen it. You see it in pro sports, Bill. Like, the rookie that tails off at the end of the rookie season, right? Mm-hmm. And some of it is... They're playing.
It's a grind. It is a grind. You heard that term used a few times today, and that's what it is.
I mean, Tahad's been through the grind this year, and you hope that he's still got enough left in the tank because he's. We were talking about how important Chad is. Hard to imagine this team without a productive and available Tahad.
Mm-hmm.
Being able to beat the kind of teams they're going to need to beat.
Denver's going to be completely worn out.
Right. Yep. Tahad is going to be the whole bale of wax next week. He's going to be the star. So he's going to have to pay and play 30 minutes. And so we'll just see how he can handle that. Because they thought he was going to make the 3 points. And I'm sure that when he was in high school, he was scoring 25 points a game. But he didn't have to play defense because he outscored the other team. But now it's a whole different bailiwick.
So. Great stuff, anyway. Philly. Appreciate it.
Yeah, right. Enjoy the game Sunday.
All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive Hotline sponsored by Skybar.
Talked about a little bit with Barrett. It's a pretty good Phillies roster they're bringing into the season. as well. I mean, there's more talk. There's more talk, obviously, about some of the other teams in the National League. But it's a good Phillies team that doesn't have a ton of glaring weaknesses when you look at the lineup.
And they've got a solid rotation. Zach Wheeler's one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Nola's still there, right?
They're doing
pretty well. And then a heart of the lineup that just about anybody would want. So, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. No question about that. We'd love to hear from you if you want to talk a little basketball. We've got the first semifinal set for the SEC tournament as Auburn and Tennessee will be playing tomorrow at noon. Florida and Missouri will tip at 6 o'clock to determine the first participant in that second semifinal tomorrow afternoon.
Do we have time for, because we'll take the break here. So just a little bit of silliness would be, a little bit, which would be.
It's Friday afternoon.
Exactly.
We always have.
Did you
There's
see,
always room for silliness.
Did you see the Rich Rod story?
No, I did not. Oh.
Okay, do you know what I'm talking? Do you guys know what
I'm talking about?
Yeah,
about UNLV and their monetary?
No. That's a fascinating story, too.
That's Dan Mullen.
Yeah. No, Rich Rodriguez.
What's going on with Rich?
Rich Rodriguez, new West Virginia head coach Rich Rodriguez, formerly at Jacksonville State and Michigan and Arizona and West Virginia.
And could have been Alabama.
Made some headlines earlier this week after revealing that he has banned his football players from TikTok dancing, saying it is not the image of the program that he wants as the team heads into the season.
Wow.
He's made it clear that he is not banning his players from being on the platform, but he does not want to see his players focused on making dancing videos. He believes excessive time spent creating these videos could be distracting the players from their training and preparation for games, potentially affecting their performance on the field.
How much time I don't know.
Quote, they're going to be on it, so I'm not banning them from it. I'm just banning them from dancing on it. It's like, look, we try to have a hard edge or whatever, and you're there in your tights dancing on TikTok. Ain't quite the image of the program that I want, unquote. The popular social media app was created in 2016. Many users, including football players like Travis Hunter, have shared videos of themselves dancing on the platform. Rich Rodriguez added at the press conference, quote, I hope our focus can be on winning football games. How about let's win the football game and not worry about winning the TikTok, unquote.
Yeah, but what are they going to do when they win the game? They're going to dance then. So it's like.
Maybe he'll allow
dancing in the post game.
Maybe there will be a window where he will allow them after victories to post dancing videos. Now, I can't imagine you had to deal with too much of that with the defensive line 20 years ago, Coach.
No, but we had a lot of, carrying on and celebrating. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, this was like the genesis of social media back then.
Yeah, we didn't have TikTok.
It's truly a different generation.
Oh yeah,
as far as
no doubt. But
I think if you'd proposed to like Tez Doolittle or
they'd have told me
Marquise,
they'd have stuffed me in a garbage
can. Let's film a video.
Yeah, I'd like to see those nuts dancing in tights.
I don't think so. So I can see. And Rich Rodriguez was around back then.
Right? Yeah, like,
this is the guy who's been around.
Now
since
they'll use that against him in recruiting. Don't think you can't have any fun. Go to West Virginia. I would. If I'm him, I'd be worried a lot more about blocking and tackling than somebody dancing.
Sure, and I'm sure that's going to be that'll be brought up too.
Too much time on your hands.
and I guess the other thing would be I understand where he's coming from, but it's like maybe that's some things you have to, I guess, let slide if you're going to coach. If you're going to coach 17 to 22 year olds, or whatever it is,
that's their life.
Yeah,
I mean, they're on it all 24/7.
Yeah, I wonder how that's. I thought it was a funny story,
that's
but
crazy.
I mean, the fact that a coach has the coach was either asked about it or brought it up.
How do you
himself.
Ban it? I mean,
I guess you don't get. I mean, if I guess you get
NIL
called,
money. Well, you take your money.
Well, if coach, if a video of you dancing on TikTok goes around, maybe coach finds it, and you're going to be in coach's office explaining why he's got a video. You dancing on his phone.
I don't know if I want to start that. that's a opening a can of worms to me. But anyway,
all right, we'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Plenty of time for you to join in. Give us your thoughts on are you concerned about Auburn basketball? I mean, Auburn is 28-4. They're going to be the number one overall seed. They may not win. You think they're going to win the SEC tournament title? I think it's tough the way we've seen Auburn.
Whoever wins it is going to have to play. I mean, going to have to win three tough games and two extremely difficult games. Right? Especially the chalk holds, and we're talking about Auburn, Tennessee, and Florida, Alabama tomorrow, and the winners of those games playing on Sunday. Like you have to win two very tough games this weekend.
It's very much like being in the Final Four.
No doubt.
You're not going to face three other teams. There won't be three other teams this good, maybe even in the Final Four.
And I'll be really curious to see, you know, just like Bruce was saying about Auburn, like I'll be really curious to see how the winner of the SEC tournament does in the NCAA tournament, because Bruce thought there was maybe an effect between having to go through the grueling run of the SEC tournament last year and the way the team played in Spokane against Yale, on top of some of the other factors, the travel and Chad being ejected, right, and things like that. But I wonder if the SEC tournament champion this year goes out and struggles in the first weekend of the NCAA's, maybe you'll start to draw a connection between how much you have to give to win this tournament.
Or maybe you'd want to move things back a day like a lot of other conferences do and be done before Sunday.
Yeah. Right.
I mean, I think the Sun Belt getting everything done. I understand you have some TV considerations and stuff, but I love the idea that the Sun Belt crowned their champion on Monday of this week. Like, they had their tournament most of last weekend in Pensacola, and they crowned a champion on Monday, and they're going to be a...
And there are a lot of leagues that want to be done before Sunday because they know that by Sunday, the committee's got to pretty much have the bracket ready.
You think about, like, if an SEC team, and this could work based on the seeding. Texas A&M was eliminated yesterday, but let's say, I mean, if Troy's underseeded as a 15, right? Like, they could be playing a team. They got finished on Monday. They could be playing an SEC team that plays tomorrow or Sunday. Like, you could be talking about 5-6 extra days of rest for the opponent versus a team from the SEC or the Big Ten that the Sun Belt champion draws in the first round. I think there's a benefit to playing, I mean, within limits. I think there's a benefit to maybe getting your tournament over with and trying to provide your NCAA tournament teams who are presumably playing at the end of your conference tournament. As the best teams in your league, you'd want those teams to have as much rest as possible.
Yeah, at least get it over before Saturday. Sunday.
Like, yeah, I would think. And we'd love to hear from you here in the final couple of segments on this Friday, because the next time we're on the air, which, by the way, will be from Franklin Tire on Monday.
Yeah.
but by then, I mean, we'll, you know, the SEC tournament champion will be crowned. I'd love to hear from some folks. Do you feel like Auburn's performance today was, now it can be a combination of all these things, rust? Are you just concerned with the way Auburn's been playing? Do you think it's a carryover from losing the last two ball games? Or obviously a little credit to Ole Miss as well. But love to hear your thoughts as to the struggles that Auburn had today. But they got the win. That's the most important thing. We'll get to our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us. 334-321-1390. That's the number to get you through here on the Friday Drive.
Cameron and Dan Peck on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back into the Drive. Final 20 minutes here on this Friday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Coach Don Dunn, and let's get to the Drive hotline. And Bill is up first. Hey, Bill.
Hi, guys. I was just going to chime in and give my two cents in for what it's worth, but I'm not sure whether – yeah, I don't blame it on fatigue. Everybody's tired this time of year. Everybody's got to play a lot of games. You know, it could be the opposing coaches have figured out a better way to take what we do away from us, play us better. You know, it just something's missing, that's for sure. They played a real. I thought they played a good game against Alabama. Scored a lot of points. Just didn't. You know, we just didn't get the last shot to fall. But there's been some games, and you start to wonder, is their best basketball behind them? I don't know if there's any that peaking early or not. But that's what I don't know. I hope they get over it soon. I'd like to see them. You know, they don't have. It takes a lot of luck and a lot of talent to win a basketball championship, because you got to win so many games, and you know, it seems like it lasts forever.
Well, the SEC tournament too, you're playing day after day after day. When you get the NCAA tournament, you're getting a day off, and then you get a few days off. I mean, if you win Thursday or Friday, you've got that next day off. Here in the SEC tournament, and you know, I've seen a couple of people, our buddy Justin Ferguson, I mean, just writing some of his observations there on the Observer about the game, saying that, you know, he felt like Auburn sort of came out holding back a little bit, maybe not want to expend too much in this first game, feeling like they had good matchups against Ole Miss. I hope that's the case.
Well, another thing real quick, I don't keep too long, but is this tournament really necessary? Well, the conference champions have already been crowned. Is this tournament really necessary? It's like the SEC championship football game, which I've been to all of them that Auburn was in. Mm-hmm. At one time, it was a crown jewel. You wanted to get there, as Coach Dunn knows, and did himself a number of times.
Yeah, but you had 12 teams in the playoffs. Yeah,
I do wonder sort of how a league with a whole bunch. I mean, I was in the Sun Belt. I was at the Sun Belt tournament, and that's different, obviously, because that's a one bid league, and all of those teams, like, the only way they're going to the NCAAs is through that tournament. I wonder if it's viewed differently. I mean, clearly the level of competition, even among tournament teams, has still been there. I do wonder in a league. I wonder if conference tournaments will fall out of fashion, especially if the NCAAs are expanded in any way. Like if some conferences will decide to forego even doing something like this.
Even in the football championship. You got teams that don't even want to go to it now. I don't think Georgia particularly wanted to play there last year, but you know, because then you got the playoffs going after that. You got the injuries, so forth and so on. I just don't know if these things are really. But this one anyway, the SEC championship term. I'm not sure this is necessary, but you know, what do I know?
Yeah, I mean, when you get to the point where 13 or 14 of the 16 teams are already in the field. You're not really, there's not that, the incentive to let's see, you know, if a team can, a darling can make a run, because look, in this league, they're not. That 15 and 16 team weren't going to make a run.
Yeah. All right, guys, well, I enjoy the show. Right. And
good hearing from you, Bill. 334-321-1390. And Brett is up next. Hey, Brett.
Auburn fans start downplaying the win today. Remember, this Ole Miss team beat Tennessee the last game of the year.
This Ole Miss team is 22-8 when they're not playing Auburn. They beat South Alabama in the non-conference. They beat BYU in the non-conference. Like they beat Alabama in Tuscaloosa. They're going to be was the last time Ole Miss was a single-digit seed in the NCAA tournament, right? I mean, that team, they've been playing college basketball in Oxford, Mississippi for like 110 seasons, and they have one Sweet 16. This is one of the better teams in the last 30 years of Ole Miss basketball. I think it would have been as it's funny, Brett, because we were talking about just now we were wondering about the point of the SEC tournament, but we were talking about like how important it is for Auburn after they locked up the conference against Kentucky. And it's amazing how things have changed, because this thing in the second half felt critical. Like, there were times in the second half where you're like, boy, if Auburn lets this slip away and Ole Miss wins this game, it absolutely felt like there was a it was no exhibition game.
Yeah, well, you know, Ole Miss is the type team, as long as Auburn doesn't choke the first game in the tournament, they'll be the type team you've got to beat to get into the Sweet 16. So,
No, you're right there.
It definitely was a good win. And, you know, obviously at this point, unless somebody chokes it tonight, you're going to have to play good basketball the next two games if you're planning on winning it. So, you know, I think they'll be fine. I would say one thing, we need Dylan Cardwell to stop reaching. You're 6'11", 7 foot, 250. You don't need to be reaching and getting in foul trouble. His stat line wasn't too dang good today. But anyway, y'all have a great evening.
Appreciate it, Brett. Nah, you're right. I mentioned the only thing that Dylan even showed in the book for was fouls and turnovers.
Yeah, no, Chaney had moments where, I mean, the three in the second half,
the three
is huge.
Was huge when it was right 6 minute mark or so, tied at 46. But
struggles around the rim continue.
Yeah, which is crazy because he looked so good in that 6 or 7 game stretch where he was averaging 15, 16 a game and looked unstoppable. You know, around the rim. And today, I mean, he looked tentative, and that's what it was. When you're thinking about it, you're a little hesitant, you just sort of pull up a little bit, and his shots were short.
Yeah, and I think it's a great basketball game you get tomorrow, though, because Auburn's facing a team of the teams that you talk about from the, you know, the quarterfinal level of the SEC, the top four teams in the league. Tennessee's the one that didn't beat Auburn in the regular season. Florida and Alabama both got wins over Auburn in the regular season. Tennessee was close. They were
very close, up
four in the final minute. You know, they get that Janaida Miles corner three. If that thing doesn't go in, Tennessee probably wins in Neville Arena. But instead, Auburn won that game. Tennessee, would love to go into the NCAA tournament avenging that loss and riding the confidence of having been able to be the team that eliminates Auburn.
And they feel like they may be able to get back on the one line if they do that.
From Nashville. Yeah. And meanwhile, I can't imagine a better tune-up for, like, regardless of what happens tomorrow, you are a better team because you played Tennessee and Nashville. If you're Auburn, like, you're a better. Now, if someone gets hurt, things are different. But but if everybody's healthy and everyone's available next week, having to go through a Tennessee team in Nashville is an excellent way to prepare for not just the finals of the SEC tournament on Sunday, but the NCAA tournament a week later. And we'll see. We'll see how that game looks, but we got a good one on our hands.
A lot
tomorrow.
Of orange just got, there tomorrow at noon.
Just got the word from our buddies. Sky Bar will be open tomorrow, 11:55. They'll be open for the game tomorrow.
Yeah.
So if you want to watch Auburn, Tennessee on the big screens at Sky Bar, they'll have it going.
All right, we'll get to our final break of the afternoon. Still time for you to join in. If you have any concerns about Auburn,
there's going to be pressure. There's going to be pressure to be open on Sunday if Auburn wins this one. There's going to be pressure. We'll see. No promises. I'm not the management. I don't make these decisions. But Sky Bar will be open tomorrow noon for the Auburn Tennessee semifinal.
All right, we'll get to the final break of the afternoon of the week. So stick with us here on the Friday Drive.
Jonathan here with University Ace Hardware at University Ace.
Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the drive. Final few minutes here on this Friday.
I almost turned your mic on, in which case, if I had turned your mic on 4 seconds ago, people would have heard you say, my grandma would fry chicken without batter.
I said she did.
She did.
Not always. She'd do it either way.
There would have been no context. No, it would have just been... Yeah. That's something you say as an exclamation.
Yeah, that's it. Use that in your next ball game.
tried to fry that one without batter.
Yeah, she fried that one without batter.
Is that an air ball?
It is.
I guess so.
You can tell it's Friday.
Is it an air ball? Yeah.
Hey, an update from the Diamonds. All right, we got Auburn baseball. As a matter of fact, the first pitch is coming up in less than 10 minutes, Auburn and Vandy. Meanwhile, Auburn softball is hosting number 5, Texas A&M, and the Tigers up 3-0 with A&M batting in the top of the fourth.
I think Texas and Oklahoma are still both undefeated in college softball
as we get rolling. I think Texas and Florida are playing this weekend.
We got
that's
some
the
big
one,
ones.
Two teams in the nation. But A&M's number 5.
Huge.
And Auburn's up 3-0. Their problem, sort of like Auburn baseball's problem, has been the bullpen. If you get into the bullpen, it's been a bit of a problem. But yes, softball going on. A reminder that tomorrow, everything baseball, softball, men's tennis, I believe it's Ole Miss they've got, all have been moved to 11 o'clock because of the threat of some severe weather tomorrow, late afternoon, early evening.
Matinee rules tomorrow because, Auburn wants to get out ahead of the storm that's apparently blowing through tomorrow evening. I've already gotten, I got an Alabama power alert about it.
Wow. It's supposed to be bad.
Yeah, so it's severe weather tomorrow.
I just got through cleaning up the yard and got the pool looking a little
Donna
better.
Donna just got her patch jaw out.
Yeah, good luck.
be aware and alert tomorrow, tomorrow
kidding.
Evening, tomorrow night.
Yep.
That means you, Coach.
Oh, I will.
Yeah. All right. again, Auburn, Tennessee tomorrow, Florida, Missouri, and Alabama, Kentucky will determine the second semifinal. As you mentioned, Dan, I mean, Auburn, a two-point win coming from behind against the Vols earlier this year. And, who has more to play for? I think Tennessee.
Tennessee has more to play for, but if you're Auburn, you'd love to keep this run going, especially after facing some adversity late in the regular season. You know, you want to go into the NCAAs as hot as possible. Tennessee has more to gain from the bracket standpoint.
Right.
You know, I think Auburn is
seeding maybe.
Yeah, I think with a win today, I'd be stunned not to see Auburn as the number one team overall.
Yeah.
I'd be stunned not to see Auburn get a draw of Lexington and Atlanta on Sunday if they advance to the second weekend. I don't think that's I just think it'd be really surprising for Auburn not to for Auburn to be left out, especially after winning this one. Tennessee, you're right. It could be the difference between being a one seed and a two seed for Tennessee could be that you could be winning this tournament.
Oh, absolutely. So we'll be back Monday to describe all that. Don't forget again that Auburn baseball coming up over on Wings 94.3. Tomorrow, Auburn baseball on ESPN 106.7. Auburn basketball, 11:30 tomorrow on Wings 94.3. We're back Monday from Franklin Tire. Brian Matthews should join us then. Recap the full weekend. There's a lot going on this weekend. So that will be the case on Monday. But right now, we are out of time for the Friday Drive. Don, thanks a lot.
Thank you. Spring football, too, coming up.
That is right. That is right. We're finally getting closer to that.
We almost forgot.
Absolutely. All right, that's going to do it for the Friday.
Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying, skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.